I invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. If you're using one of the Bibles here, you should find that on page 973. And I'll read the first 9 verses. This is the holy and inspired word of God. The Apostle Paul writes, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith, just as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness? Know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. And the Scriptures, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, 'In you shall all the nations be blessed.' So then those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith." So far from God's holy word. We're going to turn now to the Catechism, Lord's Day 25. And you'll find that in the back of the hymnal we sang from on page 882. At this point in the Catechism, as we've been working through it, now 25 sermons into it, we previously left off with the Catechism's summary and explanation of the Apostles' Creed as a summary of the gospel that we believe. And by believing that gospel, we can confess rightly that we are no longer those dead in our sin and trespasses, no longer in a state of sin and misery, but we are those who are righteous in Christ, heirs of life eternal. And this is the gospel that we are called then to believe. And so now in Lord's Day 25, we think about the way in which our faith, right, as we are called to believe, how our faith is helped, how Christ helps and strengthens our faith, not by the things of this world, but primarily by his Spirit, as his Spirit works through the preaching of the word and also through the sacraments that Christ has instituted for his church. All right, and so that's what ties together Galatians 3 and what we're going to be considering here. Right, in Galatians 3, as we just read, the Apostle Paul speaks about faith and the Spirit, and how it is the Spirit who perfects us. And by faith, right, those two things being tied together. And here in Lord's Day 25, we have a further explanation of the way in which the Holy Spirit helps us in our unbelief in order that we might believe and our belief might be strengthened. So hopefully that'll become clear as we go through this Lord's Day. But Lord's Day 25, I'll read the question, and we can respond together with the answer. So question 65. It is by faith alone that we share in Christ and all his benefits. Where then does that faith come from? The Holy Spirit works it in our hearts by the preaching of the Holy Gospel and confirms it by the use of the Holy Sacraments. What are sacraments? Sacraments are visible, holy signs and seals. They were instituted by God so that by our use of them, he might make us understand more clearly the promise of the gospel and seal that promise. And this is God's gospel promise. He grants us forgiveness of sins and eternal life by grace because of Christ's one sacrifice accomplished on the cross. Question 67, are both the word and the sacraments then intended to focus our faith on the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross as the only ground of our salvation? Yes, indeed. The Holy Spirit teaches us in the gospel and confirms by the holy sacraments that our entire salvation rests on Christ, one sacrifice for us on the cross. Question 68, how many sacraments did Christ institute in the New Testament? 2, holy baptism and the Holy Supper. So far from the Catechism. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, in Mark chapter 9, we read of this father who had approached Jesus regarding his son who had been mute from birth. And likely this son was possessed by a demon. Now, there's a lot to discuss there, but that's not the focus of our story and of our sermon, really. And so as this father approaches Jesus, he says to Jesus, "If you can, make my son clean, heal my son." To which Jesus then, upon hearing these words, says to the man, if you can, all things are possible for the one who believes. And to this, the father then responds and says, "I believe, help my unbelief." Right? And those are very familiar words to us, words that often resonate in our own hearts, right? I don't know about you, but I've found myself saying and reading of the promises that God has given, what God has spoken, and saying, "I believe, help my unbelief, strengthen my faith in these words," right? Faith, as we've spoken about before, is contrasted with sight. Faith is walking not by sight, but by faith. Faith is taking God at his word. It has to do with things that are otherwise unseen. Faith takes God at his word. And so as we approach God's word, we say, "I believe, help my unbelief," right? Again, words that resonate, I'm sure, in each of our own hearts. Now, as we think then about that call, right, as we call out to Christ, "Help my unbelief," we might ask the question, well, how has Christ answered that cry? What has Christ, our Lord and Savior, provided for us that he might help our unbelief, or positively saying, that he might strengthen our faith in his word? That we might not be allured away to live only by what we see with our eyes, but to live according to what God has spoken, even though those things remain unseen. Right? What has Christ provided for us? And so as we think about that question, I want to focus on Galatians 3, but also the catechism here, Lord's Day 25, regarding two points. First, the helper, and then secondly, the help. So the helper and the help will help us to understand what Christ has provided for us to help us grow and be strengthened in our faith, that we might trust his word, that we might more and more walk by faith and not by sight. So first, the helper. And this is what the Apostle Paul, though he has a polemical context, and we're working our way through Galatians, so we'll dive into this text more specifically later in later sermons. But the Apostle Paul draws out this contrast in saying, are you now being perfected by the flesh, by your own efforts, by your own works, by that which you can provide and give, or are you being perfected by the Spirit? The Holy Spirit is the helper that Christ has given to his church. That's what Jesus says. Many of us are familiar with these words as well. In the Gospels, when he says a helper, a paraclete, a comforter is coming, that Christ will send. So on the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit was poured out, the helper has come. The helper has come to dwell in God's church. The helper is the Holy Spirit. Paul says that in Galatians 3. The catechism also says this as it answers question 65 by saying, where does this faith come from? It says the Holy Spirit works it in our hearts by the preaching of the gospel and confirms it by the use of the holy sacraments, right? So the Christian life and the faith that you've come to exercise in Christ is something that comes from the work of the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who kindles faith in our hearts to receive Christ, to rest in Christ, and to seek nothing else outside of Christ. And so as we then think about the helper, as you think about the Christian life, right? Your life as a Christian is one of faith, and then we recognize then that we are called then to keep in step with the Spirit, to walk by the Spirit. We recognize also further that if it is the Spirit who is at work in us, then the Christian life is one that is supernatural. The Christian life is one that is supernatural. The power to live the Christian life is not one that comes from within us. It's not a matter of looking into your own heart and drawing something out that's hidden and you need to bring out to the surface. But rather, the Christian life is one of supernatural power, the Holy Spirit coming to dwell in you. Christ himself sending his Spirit to dwell in you. And when Christ does that, the dead come to life. We who are dead in our sins and trespasses following the course of this world are then made alive. And then we are to consider ourselves dead to sin, alive to God. It is the Spirit who brings this about. No human effort, no human work. It is the Spirit of Christ who alone can cause us to walk in the ways of Christ, to be conformed to the image of Christ, one degree of glory to another. The Spirit of Christ who does this. And it's kind of interesting to think about this point in light of the way in which evil and sin has been psychologized in our own day. Right, evil is often thought of, and certain circumstances and certain upbringings and various things where we've psychologized sin so that we have a sort of excuse for that sin. And then having psychologized sin, we provide natural remedies, natural helps in which we can then fix certain people's lives. Now, there's certain ways that the things of this world can manage people's lives, but when we do that, we lose sight of the fact that the Christian life is one that is supernatural. It's one that is meant to be entrusting ourselves to the Holy Spirit. And so sin is not something that we can fix on our own. And our broken hearts and our wills inclined towards evil, our hearts that are in love with sin, these are things we can't fix on our own. But Christ has poured out his Spirit that by that Spirit we might come no longer to walk by sight, but by faith to walk in God's ways. It's the Spirit who accomplishes this in each of our lives. And so it also means then that as the Spirit then kindles faith in our hearts, that faith is specifically a faith in Jesus Christ. It causes us to come to him, to rest in him, to receive him. And so the work of the Spirit then is one that is Christ-centered. Right, the Spirit comes to glorify Christ. And again, we live in a day, especially within the Pentecostal movement, which is something that I came out of growing up, where you have this idea that the Spirit is present where there is much chaos and there's much confusion and there's many wild things going on. But the point of the work of the Spirit is to glorify Christ. And where Christ is glorified, where Christ is the center of the life of the church and the life of God's people, it's there that the Spirit's work is evident. The Spirit is most evident where Christ is centered, and Christ is glorified, and Christ is honored. That's what the Spirit does, as he brings us to have faith, and not just faith in anything, but faith in Jesus Christ. So it's Christ who then sends out his Spirit that he might bring us and draw us to himself, that he might be the center of our lives, and that our whole lives would orient not around ourselves and not around the things of this world, but they would orient around Christ. That's what the Spirit accomplishes in your heart, in your mind, in your life. All that we are comes to center on Christ, and that is the supernatural work of the Spirit, the helper come from Christ. So that is the helper, right? The second point we want to consider then is the help, right? So we might talk about the Spirit accomplishing these things. We say, well, how then does the Spirit accomplish these things? How does the Spirit help us? Is it a mystic kind of way where there's just this feeling and this intuition? Or does the Spirit use certain means by which he then helps us and strengthens us in our faith? Well, it is the latter. It's that the Spirit uses the gospel preached and the sacraments, right? As question 65 says, by the preaching of the holy gospel, he works it in our hearts, works faith in our heart, and then by the use of the holy sacraments, he confirms that faith, right? The means that the Spirit uses to kindle and strengthen our faith is the word and the sacraments. That's what Christ uses in order the Spirit uses in order that our faith might be strengthened. And so you might think about those two things, right? So first, the Spirit uses the preaching of God's word. It's through God's word that the Spirit works and applies the redemption and the accomplishments of Jesus Christ to us. As the word goes forth, the Spirit accompanies that word. And so the question then becomes, you know, as we think about, you know, our Christian life and we cry out, Lord, help my unbelief, what are the things that you are looking for to strengthen your faith? What are the things that you're looking to in the moments of saying, I feel weak and I feel like I'm going to give in and I'm going to fall? Like, what are the things that you're going to in order to strengthen your faith? The primary means that we are to go to, the Spirit uses, is the Word. Which means then that we are to diligently come before God's Word, to hear it preached. That's the primary way in which God applies His Word to us, through the preaching of the Word. The Spirit works. That's the primary thing. It also means that we're going to be diligent in our devotions, right? The first thing that our minds are going to go to every morning is not going to be Twitter and Instagram, but it's to be the Word of God, which is to fill our minds. Our minds should be set on things that are good and the things that God has spoken and revealed in Christ. And so the Word is then to be the center, as Christ is the center of our lives, right? The Word is to be bolstering us and strengthen us, and we are to be diligently going to that Word, drawing things out like a miser, right? He wants the gold from the mine, or we are to be pulling things out because it's there that Christ strengthens our faith as the Spirit works with the Word. And so, we want to grow in the Christian life. You know, we want to mature in the Christian life. Then what we need to do is to, again, diligently attend to the Word of God as it's preached and as it's given to us for our own reading in His Word. It's a word then that we are to speak to one another, right? It's through that interaction with each other that the Spirit works and strengthens our faith, right? That's your responsibility to your brother and your sister, right? To speak a good word, to speak the promises, remind each other of what God has said. There's something supernatural there because through that, right, as we share God's words, we're in God's word, the Spirit is at work, strengthening, confirming our faith. So the Spirit, as our helper, uses the word as its first and primary help. It's only by the preaching of the word that faith is created, kindled in our hearts. But the second means, and the one that we're going to focus on a bit more, is the sacraments, are the sacraments. The Holy Spirit not only uses the word, but also the sacraments to confirm our faith. The sacraments are not given, specifically the Lord's Supper, as we approach that once a month here at least, and baptism. The sacraments are not given in order to create faith. It's not that the sacraments by themselves and just the use of them in and of themselves could create faith, but the sacraments are given that they might confirm and strengthen our faith. And through them, the Spirit works. And so the question becomes, well, what is a sacrament? And notice the Catechism goes on to say that sacraments are visible, holy signs, and seals. And so they are visible, holy signs, and seals. So what does it mean that they are holy? Well, it means that God Himself has instituted them for His purposes. God has instituted these sacraments that they might draw us to Himself, and they might reveal His way and His will for us in our salvation, right? They're holy. They're set apart by God. And they're visible signs and seals, right? We all know what a sign is. I know the children here know what a sign is. I was hiking with my brother and my brother-in-law yesterday, and we were on a trail, and there were signs throughout the trail making sure you knew where you were going, right? The signs were pointing you to something else. A sign signifies something else. And so as we think about the sacraments, they are signs, visible signs, things that we can see, touch, smell, taste, that point to an invisible reality. Right, so the signs are visible things, the bread, the wine, the water, and baptism, that point to an invisible reality, a spiritual reality. Namely, the forgiveness of our sins by the blood of Christ and the new life that we have by the Holy Spirit. Right? The signs point to those things. And they signify to us. You might say, well, why does God give us these signs, right? Why is he giving you a sign of these things, right? Isn't his word sufficient? Well, yes, his word is sufficient. But God, out of his great care for you, recognizing the weakness of our faith, recognizing the weakness that we have to believe what he has said, he's given us these things in order that we can see God's word pictured before us. The sacraments are God's word made visible for us. So just as real as the water being poured on the forehead of a covenant child or on an adult who has come to profess faith in Christ, just as real as that water, so truly has God forgiven the sins of all who have believed in Christ and given them new life, right? Just as real as the water. Just as real as the bread that you taste and touch and feel, and the wine that you can drink, just as real as you can feel, so truly has God forgiven your sins and given you new life in Christ, nourished by Christ himself. That's the reason these signs are here. The word is sufficient, but God is a caring father for you. And so he's given us these sacraments that through them, and as the Spirit works through them, our faith in what is otherwise unseen is strengthened and made visible before our eyes, but pointing to something that is otherwise invisible. And so it's a marvelous thing to think about, even as the sacraments reveal to us something of the heart of our Father in heaven. Right, the sacraments reveal something of your Father in heaven. He cares for you. And he recognizes that you may have weaknesses and will have weaknesses. And you will cry out, help my unbelief. And so he's given us these sacraments that by them our faith might be confirmed and strengthened. They signify, but they also seal. They guarantee, they certify what God has promised to us in his word. And so the sacraments have no power, no efficacy apart from God's word because they confirm that word. They confirm what is otherwise unseen. They point to the unseen realities that the Bible has made known to us. And so they are holy, visible signs and seals. And just to see this language in the Bible, you notice a couple of passages with me, or go with me. Genesis chapter 17. You can turn there or listen. Genesis chapter 17, just to see this language of a sign and a seal regarding the sacraments. Genesis chapter 17, verse 10. God says to Abraham, this is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your offspring after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you, right? So we have the language of a sign, right? Circumcision regarding the Old Covenant sacrament, but in the New Testament we speak of baptism. One more passage in Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, verse 11. The Apostle Paul writes there that he, Abraham, received the sign of circumcision, right? So a sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised, right? So the righteousness that Abraham possessed wasn't something that Abraham could keep in a bottle, right? Like it wasn't something Abraham could hold and touch and feel. It was something declared by God. And you can't bottle the righteousness any more than you can bottle the words that come out of my mouth or anybody's mouth, right? They're invisible, they're unseen, but they're heard. And so Abraham then is given the sign of circumcision to seal what is otherwise unseen. It's pointing to that unseen reality. And you can read Colossians chapter 2 as it points to that further, but that's for another time as well. All right, so here's the language that, these are the language of Scripture. The sacraments are holy, visible signs and seals given to us. And before we conclude, I want to then think about, right, we've been talking about this in some sense, but I want us to think about then for what end these have been given to us. For what end have the sacraments been given to us? Well, of course, to strengthen our faith, as we've been talking about. But how do they do that? Well, in the sacraments, you notice what the Catechism emphasizes for us. In question 66, the middle paragraph, it says that the sacraments were instituted by God so that by our use of them, he might make us understand more clearly the promise of the gospel and seal that promise. When we think about the sacraments, chiefly we think about what God does in condescending to us, to help us, to strengthen us, to bless us. Right? That should be the chief point. Now, there is our response of faith and obedience, but the initial and chief point of when we think about the sacraments is that it is God condescending, coming down to us in order that he might make us recognize that his promises are true and for us, that his care that those promises demonstrate and magnify is true and real. That by the sacraments, God fills his part of the covenant promise. I will be your God. God binds himself to us in these sacraments as he calls us to be bound even to him. Through the sacraments, God testifies that he truly confers and gives to us the things that he has promised. And so as we come before God's, you know, the Lord's Supper, as we come and remember our own baptism or we witness a baptism, we recognize that these are given to us that God might testify, witness, seal to us the fact that he has truly given to us the things that he has promised. I can't feel my forgiveness of sins. Again, it's not something I can bottle up and keep and store away and take pictures of, right? It's not. The new life that I have in Christ, there's evidence of that, but again, there's nothing that I can point to. I don't look necessarily different than when I was dead in my sins and now being alive in God. There's no new glow about me, no new glow about you, right? There's nothing visible we can point to or bottle or hold on to. But God has promised them and he has given us his sacraments that they might signify those unseen realities. They might signify those spiritual realities that my sins are forgiven by the blood of Christ alone and that I have new life by his Spirit. And so when you cry out, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief, don't go looking for other things to strengthen your faith. Look to Christ. Trust and walk by his Spirit. And put yourself and position yourself in the means of grace that God has given in his word. Diligently attend the preaching of God's word. Diligently attend the reading of God's word. Dive deep into it like a miser, right, is desiring the gold and the jewels of a miser. Right? That's our approach to God's word because we know that only by it is our faith strengthened. And come joyfully to the Lord's table. Right? Come there and know that as real as the bread is and as real as the wine is, so they are signs instituted by God, pointing to an unseen reality that I am nourished and strengthened by the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Spiritually, I partake of Christ by faith. And so overall, the sacraments then, as the Spirit uses them as the means by which he helps us, the sacraments then point our lives and focus our lives upon Jesus Christ. That's the point of them, to bring us to have our whole lives and oriented and orbiting around Jesus Christ alone. And they reveal to us the great love of our Father for us and in our weakness. And so trust what God has given to you and press forward and be strengthened by faith as you walk by the Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, even as we've heard that by it, the Spirit kindles faith in our heart and strengthens our faith. We thank you for the sacraments that Christ, our Lord, has instituted in the Lord's Supper and baptism. Father, we thank you that each of them reveal to us your fatherly care, reveal to us that it's by Christ alone that we are nourished and strengthened, and that our lives are one of that are supernatural, one empowered and motivated by the work of the Holy Spirit in us. So cause us then to grow in these things, cause our faith to be strengthened, that Christ may be glorified in our lives. We pray in his name. Amen.